Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter that might have accidentally found the show. You've made it to the right place if you want to get personal about the news and the culture. Please enjoy this mini episode of the Gregory Neesmith Show. Welcome to the Gregory Neesmith Show, where we get personal about the news and the culture. Shout out to all the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. We appreciate you. To take you on the journey this week, you have Gregory Neesmith, entrepreneur, mask wearer, for those who are watching, in the spreading special stuff, and founder of Underdog Stuff Company. And representing Philadelphia. And that person you heard giggling to the left of me is Asha Davis.
Hi.
What's up?
What's up? I feel like I've been MIA for a couple of weeks, man. I missed you guys.
Hey, we missed you too. Welcome back, award-winning advertising executive.
Something like that.
Comedy writer.
Yeah.
Paid comic.
Yeah. Oh, paid stand-up comic, yeah.
Yes, indeed. And a proud Canadian from Toronto.
A proud Torontonian. You are scaring me. He's wearing, for those that can't see listening to the podcast, hearing on the radio, he's wearing a Jason mask here. And funny enough, his voice doesn't even sound as muffled. And you're wearing a Jason mask and you got your fingers taped up. Did you, he's doing an impromptu Tony Yayo dance right now. What happened to you? You got injured this week?
Yes, my fingers are bandaged because I fractured a bone in my pinky playing basketball.
Fractured your pinky?
Let's say I fractured a bone in my hand. That sounds a little.
Nah, I'm gonna say you hurt your little pinky, and you know, you're not being a baby about it.
No, because
that is the most bootleg finger wrap I've ever seen in my life.
Hold on, talk.
This guy just has some gauze. Okay, we got to get into this.
We do.
That's a trick right there. That is not. That does not look like a treat.
I wrapped it myself because I went to the doctor late on Friday. Right. I wanted to see the specialist on Monday or Tuesday to actually get a true splint put on it.
Okay, so addition to Gregory being an entrepreneur, life coach, and award-winning marketer, he's also an amateur doctor as well.
Shout out to the Affordable Care Act. Because it's good to be able to go to the doctor and get some x-rays, do a whole bunch of stuff. So shout out to Obamacare. All right. Today's show, trick or treat?
Who you calling a trick?
Well, we'll see. The folks got to listen to the show.
Everything about me is a treat.
Okay. We got receipts? That's slang. For those listening. So we're going to talk about literally who's been tricking and who's been treating in the past week.
Yeah.
Maybe even the past month, depending on what topics come up. And with that, I'm going to take this mask off too at some point. We might need a break because I need to like get this mask off so we can actually do the show. All right. So when we come back, we're going to get into it and we're going to go through who's been tricking and treating in the news and the culture.
Exactly. Couldn't you tell us the phone number one more time?
Yeah, one more time. I haven't even told them the first time.
Yeah.
So for folks who want to join the conversation, you can join at area code 212-650-6903. That's 212-650-6903. Or you can comment online on Facebook.
And tell us who you think is tricking, who's treating, or if you're going out trick-or-treating yourself.
Yeah, like what costume you wearing
this
next couple days. So with that, when we get back, some of the unavoidable news stories of the week and who's been tricking and who's been treating. More of the Gregory Neesmith Show after this break. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. In the building, Gregory Neesmith and Asha Davis.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for today's episode. Who's been tricking? Who's been treating? First, unavoidable news story of the week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's been some folks passing out some things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Halloween's about passing out candy. There's been some folks who've been over passing out some prescription drugs, some painkillers. There's been a lot of challenges with something folks have been calling an epidemic, the opioid epidemic.
Opioids.
Yes. Across America. And specifically, not to get too political, but it's been a very big epidemic in a lot of the neighborhoods and areas where there's a lot of Trump supporters too.
So in other words, you're saying it's a primarily non-Black disease.
Yes, and rural too.
Yeah.
Yes, that's where the epidemic has been. And you know what? This isn't the first time America has seen a drug epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
But it does feel like it's the first time there's been so much compassion for a drug epidemic
that
in the United States.
Seems very true.
It's a lot of compassion lately for folks who are breaking the law.
Mm-hmm.
And I have compassion for them, but you know, I was thinking back to like the days of crack epidemic and things like that, and I don't really recall the same language and compassion.
Right. I mean, it's very interesting because, first of all, this one has a very medical sounding name. Opioid and crack sound very different from each other.
Just as an English major, that's
right. And number two, when you think about the sources, so opioids are prescription medication. So in a world, this is something I've been thinking about, in a world where this has now become an epidemic and a crisis, wouldn't you go to the root of the problem, which would be the companies that are making millions, if not billions of dollars manufacturing these prescription drugs, and who are in turn paying the doctors to overprescribe these patients the prescription drugs, which is causing in turn the addiction and this crisis? Like, why wouldn't you go in those steps? Because that's what they did with crack, right? They went after the people that were selling it. Well, they tried to.
They tried to. And actually, they also went very hard after the users too.
Exactly. That's a really good point. That's a really good point. They vilified the users.
Yeah, users. And they had, you know, they passed certain sentencing laws where, you know, you get caught with a little bit and all of a sudden you're getting a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
So good point. They went after everybody. And now the opioids, I'm not sure we've gone after anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And so this week, your boy, your man's in them.
Yo, if you don't. Because I don't want people to think that these are my mans in them.
The underdogs and our people who listen to the show, they know that when I say your mans in them, that it's not really your
mans. The occasional Trump supporter who tunes in may not know.
That's true. Two out of three is good, though.
Ain't bad.
So you're not really your mans in them. Donald Trump
made
a big announcement this week.
45.
He said he declared a national health emergency because of the opioid epidemic.
A national health emergency.
Yes.
Wow.
Now, the question is he tricking or is he treating?
Well, we've got a comment from Facebook Live.
Oh, just shout out to the Facebook Live listeners.
Daryl says he thinks it's a trick.
Hold on. So let me take a brief time out. I'm so glad that Daryl chimed in. I was actually going to mention, if Daryl is listening, say something. Because for those who don't know, Daryl has been in the pharmacy, medical industry for, I want to say, almost two decades. So he's someone who is really close to this. And if he's saying it's a trick, then I might have to side with him.
Right. Daryl says it's a trick. Daryl, call in if you got another perspective. But he says it's a trick. Opioids have been a problem for the last 35 years. So this is not a new thing.
Okay.
And when it was only in the inner city, the response was lock them up and throw away the key. Now that it has hit suburbia and rural areas, it's now a crisis.
Which is, you know, a quick glance, you're just going through your week. You hear that there's a public health emergency declared. It sounds like it's a good thing, but it's not. And actually, it hasn't been a good thing for the disparity in how urban and minorities were treated when there were drug epidemics versus rural and suburban. And on top of that, I think it's even a trick for the Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Because when there is a public health emergency, I hate to give folks a little inside information, but those type of emergencies don't come with any funding.
But they don't come with any funding, no.
No, so literally, Trump makes this big declaration, and it's not like there's any money where his mouth is.
But there's other implications.
There are. So to your point, one of the implications is they allow more what's called telemedicine, mm-hmm. where literally I can call up and be in the middle of nowhere and get a prescription to go pick up more meds or whatever might be helpful to help me cure my addiction. And I'm going to assume I also won't get arrested or anything like that either.
I'm going to assume that the pharmaceutical companies who are facing a lot of pressure to combat this opioid crisis are going to be capitalizing on anti-opioid addiction drugs that you can order through these apps. I guarantee you any of those apps that come out that do that, the pharmaceutical companies own them. So this is the vertical, this is money. Everything that this administration is doing, you can find a corporation on the other side of it.
You know, you just now connected the dots for me, because when I was looking up the story, it says that the telemedicine services are expanded, which is remote prescribing of medication to help with the addiction, to your point, which then puts more money in the pockets of the drug companies that can now have at it to go help folks with this addiction
that they caused.
And as Chris Rock used to say, the money's in the medicine, not the cure.
Exactly. We have another great comment on Facebook Live from Daryl. He says, manufacturers aren't the problem. People are the problem. They are enabled by the government. The government reimburses based on customer satisfaction. So if the physician doesn't give you some opiates and you complain of pain, you and the hospital take the financial hit.
There's no treat in any of this.
No, there's absolutely no treat. The only treat is that for people that are addicted to opioids, it'll now be even easier to get them and feel free that you're not going to go to jail as a result of anything that you do while you are under the influence of them.
And I think that's a fair point, because while I'm bitter at how this epidemic is being handled versus the crack epidemic in the past, I'm not a mean person. Like, I don't like to see anyone addicted or in pain related to anything, let alone this epidemic. So yeah, shout out to the fact that there are going to be people getting support. But I want folks to remember all this compassion the next time some type of drug epidemic hits a different part of America, where folks might be, you know, a little brown or black and living in urban areas, that maybe we can show them some compassion too.
And thank you so much to Daryl for those comments. He's just outlined that he's been a physician, again, to reinforce, I've been a pharmacist for 18 years. So if anybody knows about prescription medication.
Shout out to the underdogs who are out here making stuff happen in their different fields and industries. And yeah, we basically had an expert jump in on, is it a trick or a treat? And let's get you on the record. This public health emergency, is it a trick or a treat?
This is a trick.
And I know what Daryl said. It's a trick.
Mm-hmm. It's a trick. I'm going to say this is a trick, like Trick Daddy. Uh-huh. Okay.
What's up?
Shut up. Shut up with that. It's a trick.
I'm not even going to add to that. That is perfect. So with that, we're going to go to the next unavoidable news story of the week. Shout out to the 215, which is the area code of Philadelphia, where Dow is representing, where we both grew up. All right, the next story. Flaky. Jeff Flake.
Ooh, tender flake.
What?
You know the pie crust?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
I wanted to make
this
sure.
It's delicious. I make quiche sometimes. This is a tender flake. That's the quality crust right there.
Okay, you make quiche?
Yeah, that's
fancy. Like there were years I didn't even know how to pronounce that.
You know, it starts with a Q.
No, I know, but I didn't have a lot of quiche growing up, so I didn't even know how to pronounce it, but that's fancy.
All right, Mr. So what is Mr. Flake? I see that he attacked Trump, which already makes him a positive in my book.
You already are feeling so for those who don't know what quiche is or Jeff Flake, Jeff Flake is the senator from Arizona. A first-term senator, actually, mm-hmm. in the same state where John, I don't vote for repealing and replacing Obamacare McCain is from. And Jeff Flake got to the Senate floor this week and went at it with Donald Trump. And we're going to play a bit of this. And it's the theme of the show. Is Jeff Flake tricking, or is he treating us with his attack on number 45?
I think I know my answer.
Okay. Well, let's hear Jeff Flake.
Yep.
Being to a pluralistic society, we have fooled ourselves for long enough that a pivot to governing is right around the corner. We know better than that. When the next generation asks us, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you speak up? What are we going to say? Mr. President, I rise today to say enough. I have children and grandchildren to answer to. And so, Mr. President, I will not be complicit or silent. If I have been critical, it is not because I relish criticizing the behavior of the President of the United States. If I have been critical, it is because I believe it is my obligation to do so. And as a matter and duty of conscience, I decided that I would be better able to represent the people of Arizona and to better serve my country and my conscience by freeing myself of the political consideration that consumed far too much bandwidth and would cause me to compromise far too many principles. To that end, I am announcing today that my service in the Senate will conclude at the end of my term in early January 2019.
Jeff Flake!
Jeff Flake.
Wanting civility and wanting the president to pivot to being presidential, for Republicans to care just as much about how they view things in addition to what they do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what are your thoughts? I'd like to hear your thoughts. I know my opinion.
Yo, this dude is tricking. Jeff Flake.
What'd you say?
First of all, let's break this down. Like, As a not a personal aside, but in general, whenever we're faced or I'm faced with doing things, there's a certain degree of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And I always feel like people should get a certain amount of credit for, like, how difficult was it, whatever they did.
Right.
I don't think people realize that the degree of difficulty of what Jeff Flake just did is very, very low. He's never been a Trump supporter. That's first of all. So for all those folks going, oh, Republicans are finally going after Donald Trump. Well, he's never liked Donald Trump. So degree of difficulty, low. Then he says he's not running for re-election. Guess what?
What?
They've released some of the polling data in his state. The dude doesn't have a chance of winning re-election. That's like when President Trump told Steph Curry he was uninvited to the White House and Steph Curry was already like, I'm not coming. Jeff Flake's like, I'm not running again. Well, you're not gonna get reelected.
I mean,
tricking.
Okay. Well, this is why we have a two-person show. That's why sometimes, you know, it's nice to have another person's perspective, because for me, I say there's a little treat in here. I'm not gonna lie. I think there's a little treat because he went on the record as saying, I couldn't sleep at night having to embrace the president or condoning his behavior or being okay with some of his positions. I just couldn't do it. I just wasn't in the cards, right? And the fact that he went on the record saying these types of things as a Republican, right? If he decided that he wanted to maintain, he knew that if he had any chance in heck of getting reelected, he could not get reelected as a Republican without supporting Trump, because that's who the president is. So the fact that he has now made it his mantra, and the fact that he could potentially be an ally to speak to other Republicans that are not Trump support, speak to other Republicans in the hopes that they may, you know, sway, because it's one thing for a Democrat or a black person to say, hey, you know, we shouldn't support Trump. It's another thing for another white guy with the last name Flake to be saying the same thing. So in my perspective, I think there's a little bit of a treat in here in some capacity. This feels like at least one of the people that tried to go against Hitler in his prime or something like that. Maybe not that difficult because
Degree of difficulty.
Maybe the degree of difficulty. But who knows? Because when Hitler first started, before, you know, what we know as his prime, he was doing what Trump is doing now. And people were going with him because he was rising to power. However, let me get into some of our Facebook comments.
Yes, let's see whether folks feel like Jeff Flake is tricking or treating. And then I also want to play a clip from Donald Trump who will weigh in on whether he thinks Jeff Flake is tricking or treating.
So I'm going to start with, so why don't I read one, then you play the clip, then I read another one. So
Tales from the Crypt.
The first. Daryl says it's a trick. Flake should have stayed and fought an election against Trump and Bannon. Go down with a fight like Arlen Specter did back in 2010.
See? So far that's trick, trick, treat.
I mean, I'm saying there's a little bit of a treat in there, yeah. But play that next clip, because I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, yet. Donald Trump is going to weigh in. Well, he didn't know we were doing a show called Trickin' or Treatin', but just roll with it.
All right.
You'll get a sense of whether he's feeling Jeff Flake or not.
Flake said you are a danger to democracy. He said you are dangerous to our democracy.
Look, he was against me from before he ever knew me. He wrote a book about me before I ever met him, before I ever heard his name. His poll numbers in Arizona are so low that he couldn't win. And I don't blame him for leaving. I think he did the right thing for himself. But if you know, long before he ever knew me, during the campaign, even before the campaign, he came out with his horrible book. And I said, who is this guy? In fact, I remember the first time I saw him on television, I had not really been, nobody knew me in terms of politics. But the first time I saw him on television, I said, I assume he's a Democrat. Is he a Democrat? They said, he's a Republican. I said, that's impossible. So look, his poll numbers are terrible. He's done terribly for the great people of Arizona, a state that likes Donald Trump very much, as you, even you will admit. And he would have never won. In fact, even in the primary, he's way down in the primary. So he did the smart thing for himself. This way he can get out somewhat gracefully. But what about this comment?
Trump thought he dressed up as a Democrat for Halloween.
Well, you know what, though? You
now,
know,
now what you got to say?
You know what? Rudy says it's a trick. Guaranteed you're going to see some Flake 2020 ads soon. He knows he can't win Arizona, so he's trying to position himself to win the Republican nomination.
Shout out to Rudy, for one, because I appreciate Rudy jumping into the conversation. And for two, because he said trick.
But his next comment said,
Rudy, stop it. No,
his
next comment
said, in response to my points that I made, he said, there's definitely some treat in that. I agree with that too, Asha. Black people, thumbs up.
All right. So maybe you and Rudy have me recalibrating this a little bit. I'm going to find a silver lining, because silence is just as bad as folks who've been co-signing for Trump. So to be fair, any voice, even if it's a rhino, which they call Republican name only, or whether he's dressed up as a Republican, he's really a Democrat, he's still registered as a Republican, won a Republican race in Arizona, and it's still better than nothing that he's saying something.
I think so too. So I guess we can... But he's tricking, but there's a little treat in it.
Yes, there is a little bit of a treat.
It's like Trina.
Uh-huh.
Like Trick Daddy and okay. Trina, because Trina's definitely the treat. There's a lot of treat to her tricks.
Yes.
I love Trina. I'm sorry. I didn't mean
no, that's what I'm saying.
Speaking of female rappers, we got a comment from Sharon that says, Friday the 13th, I'm going to play Jason. I'm guessing responding to your mask. And I know that.
We killed him out here. If for no other reason, and we want folks who are riding around in their cars to listen to 90.3 FM, The Voice of Harlem, or go to www.whtr.org, or you should go to the Facebook today just to see Asha and I live. And
I forgot my mask.
I know you.
You didn't give me the memo. I had my leopard mask for my costume.
It was just one of those last minute things.
All right,
just having a little fun.
All right.
And one more thing on Mr. Jeff Keish Flake is, I'm still hopeful for the day when, can you believe, while Trump has a 36% overall approval rating, 80% of Republicans approve of him.
Crazy, only because they know that he can get them reelected.
So I want Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan to say something, or Mike Pence.
Let's wait till after they get their $1 billion tax breaks, then we'll see who really cares about him. Right now, remember, It's all about the money. Whenever you see questionable behavior, there's a corporation behind it, owned by people in the government.
Matter of fact, when are we going to see Trump's taxes? I want him to dress up as a nice guy for Halloween or something like that. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break.
Quick break.
And then when we come back, more of today's episode, it's going to be written as Who's Trick or Treat, but because we're live, we can say who's tricking, who's treating. Welcome back to the Gregory Neesmith Show. Shout out to the underdogs, my people, and the occasional Trump supporter who might accidentally find the show. Let's get into another unavoidable news story of the week. And we will again ponder the question of, are they tricking or are they treating?
Are they tricking or are they treating?
For folks who may not be aware, the NFL players, NFL owners, met about a week and a half ago to talk about how they can potentially work together to, as some describe, move from protest to progress related to equality in our policing and justice system, especially for minorities and specifically for African Americans.
Protest to progress. It's got a nice catchy ring to it.
Yes, it's much better than the, as we know, incorrect term of anthem protest, because no one's protesting an anthem.
Right.
So with that said, that's kind of the context. And so coming out of that, there's been discussions about what are the players getting? Are they going to stop kneeling? Are they going to kneel some more? Are the owners really feeling this? Are they saying one thing in public and another thing behind folks' backs? And then this happens.
Yes, that's not funny at all, actually. No. Just the way that Gregory just like stopped and looked at me like that was weird.
It was a leader.
So earlier this week, as in 2 days ago, an article came out. So are you familiar with the Houston Texans?
Yeah, they have a very good team. Actually, J.J. Watt, one of the players, raised a lot of money for Harvey. And Watson is their quarterback who played at Clemson, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a little bit about the Texans.
Okay. So Bob McNair is the owner of the Texans. And I think we talked about this or mentioned it briefly on a previous show that a couple of weeks ago, there was a big meeting of all the owners and such where they were going to, as you mentioned, discuss how they can move from protest to progress.
Yep.
And on Friday, an article came out in ESPN's magazine that was basically written about what was talked about, what went on during that meeting. And something really jumped out at folks, which was a comment made by Bob McNair in which he said, "We can't have the inmates running the prison."
Oh, time out. Time out. I need you to make sure you didn't misread something.
Mm-hmm. So when referring
to start over again,
when during the owners meeting to discuss moving from protest to progress, while referring to the ongoing player demonstrations during the anthem, Bob McNair, owner of the Houston Texans, said, "We can't have the inmates running the prison."
At the meeting.
So the meeting was a couple of weeks ago. The comment was only made public this Friday. So there's obviously been 2 weeks since people actually found out about it. As usual happens, the person doesn't apologize in the moment. They only apologize when people find out about it. So as soon as people expressed outrage after seeing that article, he said, "I'm truly sorry to the players for how this has impacted them and the perception that it has created of me, which could not be further from the truth."
That's probably how I said it too.
He probably had somebody else write it.
Sounds like you think even his apology is triggering.
I think this whole thing. So the next morning, so this is now yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Saturday morning, he met with the players of the Texans, right? And he expressed his regret for the initial comment, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you can imagine being a Texans player, seeing this written and coming out, right? So the Texans players actually were considering a walkout from the team facility. So on Friday, they were considering a walkout, and two players, so DeAndre Hopkins and Donta Foreman, were listed as did not practice, so or not injury related. So basically, two players actually boycotted their own practice, specifically related to what he said. And you can imagine there's also been comments coming out from players, from players' wives, basically saying, you know, my husband has played for your organization for 10 years and all you think of him as is an inmate in your prison.
Yeah, so I first, to give a little context, what was even the owner trying to say? Isn't there an cliche or established saying called the inmates running the asylum?
He was basically, yeah, so there's a somewhat turn of phrase that is also politically incorrect if you ask me, but it's basically you can't let the crazy people run the asylum, right? And so that's basically what he was trying to say. Somebody has to be in charge.
Yes.
Right? However, when all of those people that are in charge do not have the same perspective as you have, that's when things become difficult.
Yeah, this is just, I mean, first of all, this is easily tricking, right? There's no treating this at all. And actually, this is what's so alarming to me. It'd be one thing if this was like off the record and said behind people's backs. He said it in front of them at the meeting.
And in the moment, didn't think that anything he said was wrong until people found out about it in an article that came out 2 weeks later.
And then for those who are like, oh, he was just using a cliche or a phrase and this and that. First of all, they're protesting about policing. His workforce is 70% black. He's using an analogy that compares. This dude is not stupid. He's at least smart. He's definitely not intelligent, but at least smart. He knows analogies. You don't compare your workforce to inmates and being in prisons.
And essentially, it's not like his sentiments don't reflect the long-standing sort of thoughts of NFL owners. And I actually found an article that talks about the ex-Cowboys president. And you know how much love we have for the Cowboys.
Yes.
But the ex-Cowboys president, Tex Schramm, once said to the union chief, Gene Upshaw, "You guys are cattle. We're the ranchers. And ranchers can always get more cattle."
Yeah.
We stay live, we never creepin'. Underdogs find out who's trickin', who's treatin'. On Halloween, All Hallows Eve, thanks for tuning in with Gregory Neesmith and me, Asha Davis. We ain't fakin', we keep it real, but we stay cakin' on the ill show, and we go go. Can I pass it off to Jason with the mask on?
Hey, we ain't faking. Asha is Jamaican. And we taking the airwaves to a new level. Beat drop.
Well, speaking of people dressing up, I feel like there's people dressing up or being fake, you know, our freestyle. We talked a little bit about fake and dressing up who their persona, I guess.
Well, there's some people in today's digital society,
yeah,
who are dressing up online.
Dressing up who they are online.
Yeah, putting on a bit of a mask, mm-hmm, virtually and figuratively. Mm-hmm. And it started with actually one of my favorite players.
Who?
Kevin Durant.
KD?
KD.
KD started it?
Well, I don't know if he started, but he definitely became in the news because of it.
Okay.
So KD has been known to clap back or reply to fans who may reach out to him on social media. Mm-hmm. So there's no surprise that KD will interact. And sometimes people go like, yo, KD, like, why are you responding back to this dude? He has like 5 followers. And like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But he's like, hey, I do it. So unfortunately, some fan made a statement about like how about him leaving Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. And so from Kevin Durant's main Twitter account, which is called KD5, he basically wrote something to the effect of, imagine taking Russ off that team. See how bad they were. KD can't win. championships with those cats. Now, I want you to pay close attention. This is from Katie's account, but it was written in third person.
Hmm.
So then what happened was people were like, did KD forget to switch from his other account? Instead, he replied from his account. And then folks were like, maybe KD has a fake account. So KD did come out and apologize for the tweet. And let's play a quick clip of KD talking about this whole thing.
There was a little bit of news yesterday. I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah, I am.
The thing is, you've never been afraid to clap back, right? You say what's on your mind.
Yeah.
You get it out there. You know, critics can F-word themselves, right?
Yeah.
And there are these accusations that you're creating other fake Twitter accounts and Instagram accounts to defend yourself. What happened? What's going on?
I do have another Instagram account, but that's just for my friends and family, so I wouldn't say I was using that to clap back at anybody, but I use Twitter to engage with the fans. I think it's a great way to engage with, you know, basketball fans. But I happen to take it a little too far, and that's what happens sometimes when I get into these basketball debates, or, you know, what I really love is just to play basketball. I went a little too far, and I don't regret clapping back at anybody or talking to my fans on Twitter. I do regret using my former coach's name and that former organization that I played for. That was childish, that was idiotic, all those type of words. I regret doing that, and I apologize to him.
KD.
Apologizing
for clapping back under his real account, but clearly he thought he was in his other account talking in third person, saying things that it'd have been fine. Just say them from yourself, KD. You didn't have to do a fake account. Now, with that, though, before we move on, because there's some other folks dressing up online that mm-hmm. I want to talk about. He did have this one response to a fan on his YouTube channel, which I thought was actually very cool.
Mm-hmm.
And this was him speaking as himself. And a fan talked about, asked him, like, well, why are you even, like, responding to us? Like, why are you doing this? Aren't you above that? And he goes, I play basketball. I got acne. I grew up with nothing. And still figuring myself out in my late 20s. I slide in DMs. I make fun of my friends. I drink beers. I play Xbox. I'm closer to you than you think.
I love that. I love that. I love that. I mean, one of the beauties of social media, I think, despite all of its downfalls and flaws, is that it definitely helps people relate more to celebrities. You know, you realize that these are just regular people. Everybody likes to have fun. Everybody makes mistakes. Everybody says dumb things and jokes around with their friends. And, you know, I think that's real cool. And it definitely probably made that person's day.
Oh my goodness. And it's an example of, if he can be that vulnerable and share, he really actually doesn't need a fake Twitter account.
Exactly.
Just say what is on your mind. Thank you for listening to the Gregory Neesmith Show podcast, where we get personal about the news and the culture. And as always, I leave you with my favorite quote: underdogs, can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace.